This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. We heard from Polly and Paul from Diamond Circle Weddings in the first half of the show. We've got another great guest to talk to in the second half of the show. I just want to remind you, though, while we're talking about events and things that are happening, here's an update on the Southeast Construction Expo. The expo will be live at the South of England Event Centre, that's at Ardingly in Sussex, on the 21st of October. But because we have the technology, we are also going to be live streaming the event. And this means that if you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your physical stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have fantastic networking opportunities, both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, live recordings will be available on catch up. The Southeast Construction Expo is where you find out about major projects and investment opportunities, hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content. There's a free Meet the Buyer with top UK construction companies, live demos of great new innovative products, how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction, meet thousands of construction businesses, and do some great networking. If you want to find out more, pop over to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk, and check it out. Right, I'll tell you what, Jules, you can read one thing and then we're going to hear from our next guest, Mr. Jim Frawley.
Can't wait to speak to Jim and hear from him. So there's up to 2,000 people in the county are set to receive free training to help them find new jobs online as part of a push to boost employment. The scheme is being organised by the Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership, which is known as CELEP, S-E-L-E-P, in cooperation with digital training provider We Are Digital. The equipment and data will be given to participants where necessary. It comes after latest figures from Ofcom reveal more than 1 million UK homes do not have internet access, while 35% of the South East is either completely offline or has limited internet use. And CELEP chair, who's Christian Brody, said, by working with We Are Digital, we are confident of reaching the right people and places in the South East. Our funds are targeted at the areas and residents that truly need this additional support the most, and helping us to stay on top of high growth levels that are being experienced in some sectors, especially digital.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I caught up with Jim Frawley of Bellwether. Let's hear what Jim had to say.
We're now joined on the Business Bunker Show, all the way from New York, by Mr. Jim Frawley of Bellwether Hub. Jim, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, first and foremost, you're in New York. Are you in New York City or New York State?
I could jog into New York City, but I'm just outside of the city.
Okay, fair enough. That's great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to meet you and talk to you. But why don't you kick off, Jim, by telling us a little bit about Jim, first of all.
Sure. I run an organization called Bellwether. It's based in New York. And what we do is we help people and companies respond to change. Okay. We build resilient companies. We build resilient individuals because there's so much change happening. We don't know how to respond to the change or what change is actually going to be coming. So yeah. I do that in my work time. And then my fun free time is family time, reading books and triathlons and all of that.
Fantastic. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's unpack some of that. You know, change is a thing that happens and always has happened. But I don't know what you feel about this. But for me, the pace of change has been accelerating over the last few decades, just because of technology changes as much as anything else. But then, of course, with the pandemic, that's added a whole new level of potential change. What are your feelings about change in itself and the kind of things I just said about what's driving those changes?
Well, you hit the nail on the head because you said the challenge is the pace of change. And everyone understands that change is constantly happening. Change is a constant. The one thing that never changes is that change always happens. We hear about all those things. Yeah. But the pace of change is growing to such a rate that we're unable to keep up. And it's an added level of stress where we feel like we're going to be left behind because we constantly feel like we're being left behind. You sit there, you know, the pandemic came in. Suddenly you're working from home. Your boss doesn't know how to manage people from home. You don't know how to communicate at work. You turn on the news and there's people rioting outside. So you're nervous about that. Your teenager is tweeting a new emoji and you have to try and figure out what that is. And every aspect of where you turn, something is changing. And each one of these is okay individually, but the scale of it is everywhere that you look. So how do you change and adapt to this change when macro looking is just monstrous and everywhere? So technology is driving most of it.
Yeah.
Technology is, you know, it's making our lives better. It's a wonderful thing. And we love technology.
Smiling. I'm going to tell you why in a minute.
Okay, good. I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
But it comes, you know, what are we sacrificing and what are we trading that off for? The convenience of getting something delivered in 2 hours and everything. Yeah. What are we giving up for that? And are we prepared to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm smiling. Just so you know, my background is in technology, and because I'm so old, I've actually worked in technology for 50 years. But I hate technology at the moment. It is driving me bonkers. You know, because what you just identified is so true. You know, it changes, technology is embedded in everything, but it's not the individual bits of technology. It's when you put it all together and it doesn't work or something goes wrong and it drives you mad. And I'll tell you this because no one else is listening. Last week I had all my credit cards hacked. And trying to sort that out when everything in your life is connected, you know, so I'm getting inundated with emails saying you didn't make a payment for this and you didn't make a payment for that. And I'm going, I didn't even remember I had my card there. Yeah.
You're the second person from the UK to say that exact thing to me in the last less than a week,
right,
where they got hacked and you can't fix it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where to go. And it's so intertwined into everything that it's almost like we let our guard down. Everything's so easy and convenient.
Yeah.
When there's that little hiccup, all of a sudden you have a major, major challenge.
Absolutely. I think that's the key to all of these kind of things and why coping with change can be so difficult, because we have made things easier, but we don't necessarily understand how we've done that. So when it goes wrong, you go, well, I don't know.
I didn't build it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. In looking at all of those things that you raise, and they're all good points, tell us about Bellwether Hub and what it is you actually do and what you focus on to help folks deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we have two types of clients. We have individuals who come to us saying, you know what, I have a small business, or my work isn't really going that great and I want to take care of, you know, my life, my work, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the corporations where we're redoing how they think about learning and development for their employees and putting together strategic plans and thinking about the future of their organization. I say that there are three things you need to be successful in this new technologically driven economy. One is strategic planning, which we don't teach well.
Yeah.
Bellwether teaches it well, but in the world, we don't teach well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We don't know how the pieces come together.
Yeah.
Two is executive communications. How do you communicate that plan to other people? And then three, and I wrote a book on this called Adapting in Motion, and that's the other one, is how do you adapt to change, pivot that plan when you don't know what change is coming?
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, planning is everything, but the plan is worthless.
Yeah.
So you could put together your plan. The world's not going to align with it. How do you change it and adjust it as the days go by and get other people behind you to accomplish what it is that you're going to accomplish?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to tell you something, and I want your thoughts and feelings on it, and I might upset you. But lots of people talk to me about goal setting. I should explain, I'm an entrepreneur as well. I have a number of businesses that I run. People talk to me about goal setting, and I'm just not a goal setter. I'm just not into goals. What I have is a strategic plan, but the thing about that plan is it's flexible, because I don't know what's going to happen next. So I have to have some kind of flexibility in where I'm going to cope with whatever life kind of throws at you next. And I want your thoughts and feelings on that, Jim, if I may.
Yeah. So when we think about what we want to accomplish, some people like to check things off a list. And those people like to build goals, right? I want to read 500 books this year. I want to do this and I'm going to, but all of a sudden when things get backed up with our task list, we get overwhelmed by saying, I'm not doing enough. And it's another distraction on top of everything else that you need to do. A strategic plan, having that vision of where you want to go, allows you the flexibility to change it in the moment. Life is chaos theory. So you can have 6 or 7 plans. As you're making progress on one, that may fundamentally change another one that you thought was so important at the beginning of the year. 1 or 2 quarters in, you might say, you know what? Now that I'm at this point, I'm going to make a completely different decision than where I was 3 months ago, 6 months ago. And the world has changed. The pace of change is happening so quickly that this needs to be reviewed on a monthly and quarterly basis, saying, am I on the right track? Is this what I actually want to accomplish? And do I need to make a change? But then continue to ask for that bigger vision. Am I still on the path of where I actually want to go?
Yeah, I think that is crucially important. And the point you just made for me is the biggest point of all, which is to continually review the feedback and the signs that you're getting. Because a lot of people set out to do something and they keep doing it without looking around them to go, hold on a minute, this isn't working, or it's not taking me where I thought it was going to take me. They go, no, I'm doing it, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing
it. Checking it off my list, right?
Yeah, excellent. And I'll, if it's not working, I'll do it harder. And I quite often see people making that mistake of keeping going with something without reviewing where it is. So I love what you say about checking that strategic plan on a regular basis. Okay, I want to talk a little bit, if we may, Jim, about Bellwether Hub and how you deliver the coaching that you do. And I know that part of your marketing is to say that you're very different to a lot of corporate coaching. Now, in my past, I worked for corporates many years ago, and I did all the management training programs and all that kind of stuff. Some of them were, you know, pretty interesting, maybe, but a lot of them were fairly cliched as well, you know.
Yeah.
I've got to say, you might not even recognize this because you're a young man, but I call it there's no I in team. And what I mean by that is back in the 80s, you could walk into any office in the Western world of any kind of organization, and they had a banner on the wall that said there's no I in team.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just found that a cliche. And I was a bigger fan of some of the avant-garde stuff that said, you know, about eagles might soar, but weasels don't get sucked into jet engines.
Those are the motivational posters we need.
Exactly. So I want to talk about how you deliver the kind of programs that you deliver, if you would.
Yeah, I have a – so many people ask me about my approach to coaching, my philosophy on coaching.
Yeah.
I tell all of my clients in the nicest way possible, I hope I never speak to you again.
Sure.
And I don't take any clients until we agree on what success looks like from an ROI perspective, until we pick an end date so that we know when I'm done, because my belief in coaching is I should be getting you to a place where you no longer need a coach. I don't believe in these ongoing coaching, life coaching engagement type of things. Some people may need that, but that's not what I provide.
Yep.
And the fundamental thing that most coaching programs miss is they don't talk about ROI. They say, well, you can't measure leadership. You can't measure these types of things in a financial sense, which I fundamentally disagree with.
Okay.
In my years of running businesses in the financial industry, business strategic planning in the financial industry, the first question is, what's the value we're getting out of this? If you can't articulate the value in coaching, then you shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't measure leadership, you can measure behaviors. So what are the behaviors then that constitute good leadership for this particular situation? Customize it for that, and you could track down an ROI to that. Correct. So we'll do it for an individual. That individual has to articulate the value they're getting out of coaching,
right,
what success looks like, and then we will build that over 6 months. It's the same thing with a workshop. It's the same thing with a consulting, 6-month consulting job, whatever it is that we want to do. I believe that we should be coaching and developing people in the most cost-effective manner possible. Because none of this is brain surgery. None of this is brand new. And unless you're a large organization able to pay for a lot of these coaches, I think the people, especially paying out of pocket, should get as much of this for as cheaply as possible, because it's really good. Just because I took classes and I could teach you how to put together a plan doesn't mean it should cost you $10,000 every time you sit down with me. You know, why don't we do it for 50 bucks? We'll sit down and you're doing all the work. So how do we structure it so that it could be the most cost-effective way for people to get what they need?
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. I don't know if you've worked at all in the UK or Europe, but one of my big things over many years is in the US, people themselves, individuals, small business owners, were always more inclined to invest in themselves than we are in the UK. In the UK and most of Europe, if I'm honest, but in the UK, people will go on corporate training courses. You know, if they work for a big corporate, they'll go on the courses and they'll, you know, lap it up and they'll ask to go on more. But if you ask them to pay for themselves individually, they go, no, I'm not sure about that. You know, that is slowly starting to change in the UK, but it's been a long time coming. So what I love about what you said is that, you know, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? If you can show them the return on investment, why wouldn't you? Yeah, if it's £1,000 or, you know, $800 and I can show you a potential return of 2,000, then it's a no-brainer. Yeah,
100%. Right. If you've got an employee you're paying £150,000 a year to, that person should be giving you at least £200,000 of value.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're making an investment in technology, you're going to be saying, what's the ROI and what's the benefit of it? It's the same with coaching. If we're going to bring this person in and it's going to cost us $100,000 for this coaching engagement, we better be getting, you know, $200,000-$500,000 in return on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting you to do the whole program here online, it would be like lovely if you could, but obviously we can't. Give us some ideas of the kind of things that you talk about on your program, Jim, and when you're coaching, the kind of things that you focus on with people. I know that's a fairly open-ended question, but I just want to get a feel.
Yeah, so when we talk about strategic planning, so my three buckets: plan, communicate, and adapt.
Right.
Strategic planning is all about self-efficacy and understanding from a macro view. And how do you jump from macro vision of where we want to go to the actual steps that we need to execute on? And that's a skill that most people aren't taught. Most people are taught when you get into work, focus on this one little thing, and then someone else will bring it up to the bigger picture. You need to elevate to a strategic macro view, bring it down to your individual level, and you have to do it 100% based on what you need. There's a saying, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. So I could give you advice on how to do it, but it's a little disingenuous because I don't know your situation, your background, and all of those other things. So from a strategic planning perspective, I focus very much on self-efficacy. You want to run an Ironman? All right, your goal is run an Ironman. Your plan is this over X many years. And here are the steps to get there. And are you running today? And are you biking tomorrow? And understanding what steps to get you to that bigger spot. From there, we go to communications. And this was a lot of my background in finance, is how do you communicate to three different audiences? One is senior level, board level bosses, I guess we'll call it the boss of the organization, senior level organizations running the organization.
Yep.
Who are your shareholders? How do you communicate to them? How do you communicate to your clients? And how do you communicate to the people who are working with you? And it's the same message, but delivered in different ways.
Sure.
And when I was working in the financial industry during the financial crisis, the people who could do that well survived the financial crisis.
Right.
The people who could do it, those were the leaders who said, you know what, I could communicate with the clients to say everything's going to be okay. With the associates, everything's going to be okay. To the shareholders, everything's going to be okay. And here's why.
Yeah.
And they were able to communicate in that really effective way. And then adapting emotion, adapting to change, is putting together your plan to deal with macro change. You don't want to focus on the macro change. I say macro change requires a focus on micro you. So how are you making good, effective decisions based on whatever it is that you're making a decision on? So we need awareness of the change.
Yeah.
We need to create a plan and prepare for the change. We need to become learners, and then we can make good, wise decisions based on that. So we can bring, you have to fill in all those details, but I can bring you through to make really good, effective decisions to be able to make good decisions in the new economy.
Absolutely. I love that. And I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. I mean, for me, talking about acuity, you know, awareness of everything that's going on around you and how you fit that into what you're trying to achieve. But the biggest thing and the thing that is done so badly or not at all in a lot of instances is communication. The ability to communicate is key. And a lot of our audience here of the Business Bunker Show are owners of small and medium-sized businesses. And without being rude, you know, they're specialists in their field. You know, if they run a heating and plumbing business, they tend to be plumbers. You know, if they're a electrical business, they tend to be electricians. So they haven't come from a management or a communications background. So it's those kind of skills that they suffer from, if you see what I mean, from a lack of because it's not their skill set. It's not where they came from. But in running those businesses, especially if they want to scale up, they're the kind of things that they must concentrate on.
Yeah, and and the reason it's not a skill set is most people don't understand just a basic communication model because we've never been taught it.
Yeah,
most people don't have a full appreciation of what it takes to communicate effectively. Yeah. You can send a message to someone, but whether or not they receive the message you're giving in the way that you want it, that's your responsibility to do that, which is why we don't communicate so much over Twitter in 280 characters. Sometimes you need more than just a Twitter character in order to communicate well. Yeah. So how are you laying the foundation for whoever you're communicating to understand exactly what it is that you're trying to say for them? Yeah. That's a big step that we tend to miss.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings us full circle to where we started with the whole technology endemic change thing. I don't know about you, but I get messages from people on WhatsApp, on LinkedIn, on Twitter DMs and Facebook and email. And I go back to find what somebody said, and I can't even remember how they contacted me.
Right.
blimey, I can't find that message. I swear I saw it an hour ago. But it's not just the platform, it's the content of the message is being driven by the platforms that people are using. As you said, with the 280 character limit on Facebook and people using emojis and all kinds of stuff, but there's no consistency in the message that they're delivering.
That's right. It's going across the board. You can't find anything that you want to do, or your phone is just designed to interrupt. I have 5 siblings, and if I get on a group text message chain, my head's going to go through the wall. I'm trying to do work, and it's like bat, constantly going. So you don't know if it's in a text message, LinkedIn, email. How many email addresses do you have? How many direct messages do you have? Yeah. Which maybe someone's listening who could create a platform to just compile everything into one.
Bring it all into one place.
Like a meta communication thing, that would be great.
Yeah, cool. But the key to all of that isn't necessarily the platform. It's the message that you're trying to send and the way that you communicate.
That's right.
And we love what you're saying. Jim, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about Bellwether Hub and about Jim Frawley, what's the best way to do that?
Great. Thank you for having me. Best way to find me is on bellwetherhub.com. Mm. And you can also go to adaptinginmotion.com. That's the title of the book. That's a little easier to remember. Right. So Bellwether Hub, and I'm Bellwether Hub on all the social media platforms. So you can find me there.
Just before we say goodbye to you, just give us a quick overview of the book.
Yeah. The book is called Adapting in Motion, Finding Your Place in the New Economy. And it brings you on an arc on how to respond to change when you don't know what change is coming. So it was written during the pandemic. How do you, you know, not understanding what's coming around the corner, how are you prepared for something that you don't know that's coming?
Fantastic. I'm going to have a read of that book without any shadow of a doubt. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will. But for the moment, Jim Frawley, Bellwether Hub, thank you so much for joining the Business Bunker Show. Take care and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook, and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
The fantastic Mr. Jim Frawley there of Bellwether.
He knows his stuff, doesn't he?
Change specialist, author, coach and trainer. Fantastic to talk to Jim all the way from New York. Really important message that we don't like change, but change is endemic and the pace of change is really accelerating and we need to learn to cope with it. So some good points, some good messages, some good information there. Do check out his website. Do check out his book. Fantastic stuff. What you got, Jules?
Well, I've just had a few people that have contacted me about Brian's grants, the grants. So that's really good. I'm putting them together. That's why I'm tapping madly on my phone. And there's a Kent and Medway Healthy Workplace Programme. We all need that, she says, tucking into the chocolate biscuits. Theirs is a programme, it's a KCC and a Medway Council funded initiative, and it's offering support to all workplaces around staff health and well-being. Please put the biscuits away. By joining the free programme, you can access free NHS health checks for your staff, health MOTs, a variety of health and well-being training, including mental health, healthy eating, chocolate biscuits, keeping active, working remotely, alcohol, yes please, mine's a daiquiri, and guidance and support on updating your health-related policies. Oh, Paul, I do have it freshly squeezed with grapefruit. So it's
good.
Yes, my five a day.
Yeah.
Find out more by visiting the website, which is www.medway.gov.uk, Healthy Workplace. Ideally, go on to Kent Business Radio website, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And you'll find a little link there, and you can click on that and find out all about Kent and Medway Healthy Workplace Programme.
You can. You know what we're going to do now?
What are we? No, I don't know.
What we're going to do now is the wholly uninterrupted
FSB news.
FSB news without interruptions.
What if I have something interesting to say?
Without any interesting stuff overlaid over the top of it. That's what we're going to do now.
Do you want a tea bag?
No. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Good.
My lips sealed.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Okay, I've got a number of events that are happening around and about the place. I think all of them are online. Yes, they are. What I'm going to do is tell you all about them. And at the end of that, I'm going to give you the link for you to find out more details and to book your space. Those blogging, SEO, lead magnets and landing pages taking place on Wednesday the 23rd of June. That's tomorrow, manana, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Hear from the experts on how to improve the effectiveness of your social media use in order to gain new customers. Wednesday the 23rd, 10 a.m. There's the Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking on Thursday the 24th of June, 9:30 till 10:30. Join us for this virtual Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. The event is hosted by Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. That's Thursday, 9:30. And then also on Thursday, the 24th of June at 12:30 is Maximise Your Membership. We're pleased to invite you to this webinar, which will give you the tools to maximise your FSB membership. This will be an hour worth spending to ensure you're getting all the help you can when you need it most. Maximise Your Membership session is a free online event open to all new joiners to the FSB and also to existing members that want to refresh their memories regarding the available benefits of membership. Then on Wednesday the 14th of July, there's Maidstone Virtual Networking. Peter Searle is hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. On Thursday, the 1st of July at 12 p.m, staying visible in the new world. As the world opens up and we tentatively step back into face-to-face networking events, join this free interactive business support session to hear how you can ensure you stay visible. Sandra Garlick, MBE, will share her top visibility tips during this workshop, along with an insight into her plans to maintain her visibility online and offline in the year ahead. And then on Monday, the 5th of July at 11 a.m, in association with Google Digital Garage, is Digital Marketing Strategy with the FSB and Google. We're proud to be working with Google Digital Garage to create a series of events to help you build your digital skills. Our webinars are free to attend, open to everyone, and delivered by expert Google Digital Garage trainers and FSB staff, ready to help and support your learning, whatever your goals. Now, all of those events I've just told you about can all be found in one place. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, you can find all of those events. There's all the details about the events, and there's a link to book your tickets to all of them. So do check that out. There's some other stuff that I need to tell you about. There's a live Q&A event. Importing food and drink from the EU. Join Kent County Council Principal Trading Standards Officer Nathan Martin, Anthony Baldock, Head of Port Health, Graham Card from Kent and Victor Chamber, Michaela Tharby from DEFRA, and Tudor Price from the Kent and Medway Growth Hub, as they discuss the new legal requirements at this live webinar on Thursday the 24th of June. You can go to that at the Kent and Medway Growth Hub.com. The FSB are looking for people, are looking to speak to members about their experiences of exporting, in particular accessing export support, such as export finance, government guidance, or advice from an international trade advisor. We'd also like to hear from members who export to Turkey, especially if you've experienced any technical standards that prevent or make it difficult for businesses to sell your goods in Turkey. If either of these are relevant to your business, please could you get in touch by email with kate.foster@fsb.org.uk. That's kate.foster@fsb.org.uk. There's a number of on-demand webinars and podcasts, and they can all be found at the same place, which is firstvoice.fsb.org.uk. If you go to that website, there's a whole list of productivity tips for hybrid home working, how to launch an e-commerce business, how to grow your business with better IT. There's also an FSB Employment Protection Service to make your life easier with advice and guidance on employment legislation. You can find out about this by going to fsb.org.uk/benefits. That's fsb.org.uk/benefits, and you can find out about Employment Protection Services. And in the same place, you can also find the FSB Debt Recovery for Implementing and Managing Your Business Credit Control Processes. So do check out all of that stuff. And just to remind you, the dear old EU's been at it again. And starting on the 1st of July, if you sell e-commerce or digital services into the EU, whether you're an EU country or not, you, from the 1st of July, have to apply VAT in the purchaser's country, not your own. And even if you're not registered for VAT in this country, you have to register for VAT in the country in which you're selling your goods.
Just to make it all a lot more
complicated. It is the daftest thing I've ever heard, because especially with digital, how do you know where the downloader is? And what VAT rate do I charge if the person that's buying it is using a mobile phone to download it, happens to be on the train from Dover to Calais? At what point have you downloaded it so that you have to apply the VAT at that point? And just because the person might live in, say, Belgium, doesn't mean to say they're resident there all the time. So it's a really...
It is a bit of a pickle. My youngest was just in Spain, in Valencia, and the beaches were absolutely empty because, of course, all the Brits aren't travelling. And I wonder what's happened to the Spanish economy, because They rely on us, and yet they're only giving the residents there 90 days, aren't they, to stay? So it's a real pickle, isn't it?
Oh, don't even get me started on rules.
Yeah. Can I just say, listener, I thought you did that recorded. I didn't know you did the FSB live news.
Oh, he loves
He's awesome at it, isn't he?
He is.
I didn't realise he could read so well.
I know.
Thank
because
you for
he
that,
normally
Paul.
Makes me read all of them.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Okay.
But what I like to do when he's doing the FSB is I like to interrupt him, which is why he made that comment at the beginning, gave me that glare. Yeah. So I dare now. I just eat biscuits when he's doing that.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell
you stuff over the studio.
I'm going to tell you a very quick story. Very quick story because it's made me laugh. As a lot of you may know, my eldest son lives in France.
May we?
And it was my grandson's third birthday this week, and they went away for a week. They go to a place on the coast at the beach, which is a glamping site. It's what I guess it is, but there's a fun fair and swimming pools and all that kind of stuff.
This is a 3-year-old bear's party, wasn't it? His birthday.
But this isn't. No, you wait for it. Wait for it. They were all around the swimming pool, okay, when the manager of the place came over and ejected them.
No.
Yep. And he said, you're breaking the law. And Jamie said, why? He said, you're wearing swimming shorts. It's illegal in France for you to wear swimming shorts. You have to wear Speedos.
You're joking.
No. It's a 1903 law. I looked it up. It's a 1903 law in France. You're not allowed to wear swimming shorts in a public swimming bath. You have to wear...
Hold on.
The law doesn't say... I'll tell you why in a minute. The law doesn't say you have to wear Speedos... Now you know why every picture of all those fat old blokes on the beach at Nice are all wearing Speedos.
Duncan Goodhue would have been in his element.
Exactly.
He?
Yeah.
I thought Speedos should be banned on most
banana hammocks. It shows you how passing a law 100 years ago that has not been repealed doesn't any longer satisfy the criteria. Do you know why they ban them?
Too much material flapping.
No, too
around.
Much hanging out.
Oh. Really?
Really. Allegedly.
Don't they have
I'm partly French, guys.
Yeah. don't they have netting inside even the big
Well, they probably do now, but in 1903 they probably didn't. Yeah. And the fact is, right, so that was the law, right? So Jamie went to the supermarket and even Sophia, his wife, wasn't allowed to wear a bikini, wasn't allowed to wear shorts. She had to wear bikini bottoms. So they went...
That's got to be wrong.
No. I swear to... everyone I've told has gone, no, that's not true.
Did she have to wear a top as well? Speedo bottoms?
Everyone I've told this has gone, no, I don't believe you. And they've all gone away and looked it up and come back and gone, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. But so he went to the supermarket, they bought Speedos for everyone and a bikini for Sophia.
Baggy Speedos.
Yeah.
Like, size bigger.
And they went swimming, right? The next day, it was blisteringly hot and they had wooden decking. So Jamie was taking Bear to the pool and the guy came over again and went, I've told you once, I'm throwing you out now. Flip flops are not allowed around the pool.
What do they wear then?
Nothing. You're not allowed to wear any type of footwear around the swimming pool.
But your feet scorch if you
And
wear
Jamie went, it's too hot. And he went, well, that's not my problem.
You can't wear flip-flops. Gosh. This is like, it's getting a bit official, isn't it?
Yeah.
All these rules and regulations.
Anyway,
they love that
I just thought I'd tell you that because it made me laugh. Well, it made me smile and Jamie was not happy.
No, I can imagine. And there he was trying to have a nice third... You know, you don't want rules and regulations.
You don't want all that trouble, do you?
You don't.
No.
You don't.
What have you got, Jules?
Well, Paul Andrews, we've got the Kenwood Trust. It's the e-commerce element of the Kenwood Place website and that's now gone live.
Oh, yeah.
Allowing the public to book in experiences or purchase the merchandise directly from them. And you can view the main website, they say, by going to Kenward, that's W-A-R-D, place.co.uk, and have a little look. And they've got a specific shop page as well. Wonder what you can buy there. What can you buy? Speedos?
I can tell you what you can buy there.
It's probably some bloke making a markup on Speedos at that resort, isn't
it? It's a law. I've looked it up.
Paul, can I just ask?
Yeah.
Sometimes your phone goes over to the continent when you go near the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you then buy something while you're on the beach and your phone is in France, for example.
Yep.
Do you then have to pay the... Does the company then have to pay the VAT to France and not to the UK?
Yeah.
That's where it got complicated.
What the new rules are if it's for digital and e-commerce sales only of digital products, so online books, music, that kind of thing. What happens is, if you sell something to someone who lives in France, you have to register for and charge VAT at the French rate for that product. If you then sell the same product in Germany, you have to register for and sell VAT at the rate in Germany. What currently happens, and the way that VAT works everywhere, is that you register for VAT in the country of origin and you pay VAT, you pay the VAT rate here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The EU are trying to scrape all the tax money. So they're now making you pay the tax there, which never happened before.
So if I ordered something on iTunes, sat on Deal Beach, wherever, and it was connected to, my phone was connected to France, Apple would pay the VAT to France and not to the UK.
That is technically likely, yes.
It's mad.
It's madness. Absolute madness.
And that was my whole point about this, is that whoever devised this doesn't understand digital, because the whole point of digital is you could be anywhere. Yeah, you don't, just because your server happens to be in France, this radio station broadcasts from France. Yeah.
But I thought they were doing the new law where 19% corporate tax around the world. I thought that's what came in the new G7.
No, that's corporation tax, which is VAT.
So the VAT is set by each country.
Yeah.
So Amazon and places like that have now got a problem with not paying the VAT, as well as because they're not registered in the country, or does it, not matter?
No, no. What there is a website set up by the EU where you register for everything in one go. Amazon never had a problem with this anyway, because they were already registered in the EU in any case. Because the problem with Amazon is they were registered in the EU, so they were doing transfer pricing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're registered in Dublin and Brussels. And so are Google and a lot of the big ones. So it's not going to help any of that. It's just another badly thought out killer of small businesses. Like VAT Moss last year. Did exactly the same, and it was a disaster. And 300,000 businesses in the UK folded because they weren't going to bother to do that, because it's just not worth it. It's just a tax grab. And don't even get me started on the G7 bloody corporation tax nonsense. That's just ridiculous.
He's going red. He's actually going red. His steam's coming out of his ears.
It won't earn an extra penny. Biden's proposal was a 21% across the board tax, yeah? Well, corporation tax in the UK is already 25%, for
companies
for
big companies. 250,000.
Yeah. And below that is 19%. Yeah. But that's due to change anyway. It was the small company tax rate was due to go up to 20%, and the large company tax rate to 25%. By setting it at 21%, it doesn't fix any of the problems that they had in terms of transfer pricing. It just doesn't fix it. You know, if you're transfer pricing to Dublin, it still means that the Irish government get the tax and not the UK government. And what everyone's moaning about is the products are sold here, but we don't get the tax because the tax is paid in Dublin. But the tax is still going to be paid in Dublin.
This has actually turned into a business show.
Yeah, I know. It's not good, is it? Anyway,
hi, Jules, bring it back.
Brian the Grantsman has tweeted to say, hi, Jules and Paul, SMEs in Kent that are investing in their business can get grants to help them grow. So various things, it's very exciting, this. You can get a grant for websites, some IT, marketing kit, video and photography production, CRM and commercial vehicles, growth-based consultancy. So please give Brian the Grantsman a ring, because that's amazing.
Mm.
And it's a grant. So he is on Twitter, and he's Brian with a Y, B-R-Y-A-N, Invicta. Follow him and find out what he can give you. Also stuff for disabled and disadvantaged people. No speedos, though. He said he once got told off in a
swimming pool. I'm just going to read it. Brian has said, I was told to change my swimming trunks in a pool in Le Gard Fresnay in the south of France. I was swimming up and down, and the guard was walking up and down trying to get my attention. Yeah.
Well, I want to know what was it that then? The old speedo thing?
Yeah.
It must be.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
Yeah. See, you didn't believe me, but it's a fact. And not many people know that. You have to. I'm assuming they've got the same law in Italy, the amount of Italians that wear Speedos. Anyway, I'm determined now to buy the smallest pair of Speedos I can find and go and strut around France. That'll teach them, won't it?
Yeah, that will.
Yeah, that'll learn them.
Where I live in...
Shall we not go to France on holiday, just in case?
Avoid. In Valencia, where I have a little house, the Germans all go to one end of the beach and strip off buck naked. And they're all fairly elderly Germans, and the women as well, and they all sort of loll about on rocks.
Yeah, but at least they're not in Speedos.
It's most unpleasant, though, it really is.
Anyway, enough of that. Awards, they're the things you want.
We love an award.
We love an award. Awards celebrate hard work, they celebrate success, and a great public relations for your organisation. If you're a winning business, you can enter free the Maidstone or Ashford Business Awards 2021. There's 12 categories in each area, and the areas are Maidstone and its surroundings, so Mid-Kent, and Ashford and the South Kent area. You can enter the awards for 2021. And the best place to do that and to find out all about it is the website dedicated to that, which is www.businessawardskent.co.uk. And I do believe that there is a combined awards dinner scheduled for November at the Great Danes Hotel.
Oh. Nicely slipped in there.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to going to the Great Danes Hotel because there's lots of things happening there.
There is.
And I haven't been there for a long time, and I'm going to MC that, the awards dinner, and it's the first one I've done for over 15 months, so I'm really looking forward to it. What you got, Jules?
Well, I just saw something about Somerset High Street, and I can't find it now.
Somerset High Street.
Yeah, it was something going on. I did answer them, but it's far too long down on my thing.
Somerset High Street.
Oh, look, yeah, something amazing was happening. So Charity Golf Day, that's happening on the 2nd of July. So this is a diary day. It's 10:30 to 7 p.m. You can swing into action and join them for 18 holes of fundraising, all in aid of the Strode Park Foundation. And they've booked the Cave Hotel and Golf Resort in Boughton, which is a lovely, lovely venue. I went to their launch, actually. It's very... they spent a fortune on it. It's gorgeous. You can make up a team of four for just £60 a head. Boughton Golf Club members pay just £34.50. You can let them know your team name if you've already made up a foursome. If you're an individual, let them know and they can match you up with the team. Entry fee includes tea, coffee, bacon rolls on arrival, 18 holes of golf, a two-course dinner and a prize presentation. So please go to www.strodepark.org.uk/shop-event-charity or give them a tinkle at the Cave Hotel and Resort or Boughton Golf Club.
Fantastic. The lovely Sam Kelly, who introduced me to Jim Frawley, has just tweeted, if you enjoyed listening to Bellwether Hub chatting to Vanilla Webb, check out his strategic planning workshop, which is happening tomorrow. It's on Eventbrite. It's Bellwether Workshop, Create Your 6-Month Strategic Plan. If you want to find out about that, if you follow Bellwether Hub on Twitter or Sam Kelly, the lovely Sam Kelly, who's the tweeting goddess on Twitter.
In Dublin, isn't she?
She is in Dublin. In actually, Rosslare, I think she lives.
Did we say DG East about their umbrellas? I'm not quite sure.
No, I haven't done
so
that.
So DG East, yeah. Say, how about a shout-out for all the umbrella sellers on this wonderful not summer's day? And I agree with that. And they are independent contract hire and leasing provider of cars and commercial vehicles to both private and business customers. You can find them on dgeast.co.uk. No speedos are involved.
Fantastic. I need to tell you about this workshop that's happening on Friday the 9th of July. It's a social media workshop special for artists and creatives. It's an online event. Experts and attendees share their knowledge and experience through short talks and group discussions. Social media platforms are great spaces to showcase and promote your creative work. During the event, creatives and professionals will share strategies.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. I need to get new teeth. Strategies, tips and experiences to help you with your social media communication. Listen to them. We'll provide you with ideas for your own practice. You will also be able to take part in group discussions where you can share ideas and tips, explain how to use social media yourself, ask for feedback, etc., or you can just sit back and listen. On the program, you will learn from experts and also from the creative community itself, sharing experiences and ideas, helping you identify things that you need to do. The speakers are Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, and she will share with you the key steps to create your social media strategy and where to start when it comes to the world of social media. You'll hear from artist Rob McIntosh, who will talk about his use of Instagram with Dalton Barn. Rod will speak about his experiences of growing Instagram organically. And then you'll hear from the lovely Alexandra Campbell of the Middle Sized Garden YouTube channel, how to create a successful YouTube channel. And then Stella Chapman and Victoria Johnson from Salt Design will cover the branding side of social media, mastering the four V's of social media. All of this is taking place on Friday the 9th of July, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's all online, and you can find out all about it by going to kentcreative.org. www.kentcreative.org to find out all about it.
And I've read all mine. So
have you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit greedy.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. I whizzed through them.
Okay. Well, I've got one more here. Maidstone Business. This is from Maidstone Council. Maidstone Businesses, make your voices heard. A consultation has started into the future growth and development of Maidstone's economy. Views are being sought on the new Maidstone Borough Council Economic Development Strategy and State of the Nation report, setting out the council's vision and ambition for the borough's economy. The draft strategy sets out a 5-year action plan to help grow the local economy and increase productivity up to 2030. Due to the impact of the pandemic, it considers the support needed to get firms back in shape in both the short and medium term. The consultation runs until July the 7th. To take part, if you go to maidstone.gov.uk/primary services council and democracy. That's maidstone.gov.uk/primary services council and democracy to take part in that survey. And I think that brings us to the end of another Business Bunker show.
The guests just love the way we throw things around the studio.
She just bunged something at me, yeah. Listener.
I threw a tea bag at Paul earlier.
I know, I saw.
And he caught it.
He caught it in the bin.
Very neat.
Which was impressive.
It was a very good shot, wasn't it, Paul?
It was. It was awesome. You should play cricket.
I was in the netball team.
You was know. You?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's why you're good at getting things in hoops.
Yeah. Very good.
Well done.
I could put on a party piece for you at your
venue. Please don't.
Venue. Throwing tea bags into the bin. I mean, you know.
It would be unique.
Yes, it would.
Apparently, Brian had to change into Speedos as well. I've started a thing there, haven't I?
Well, I think it's a kind of fetish.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder who made this law. Was it sort of Marie Antoinette or somebody?
Yeah, probably.
In a martini glass.
Cake. Who is it?
Anyway, we've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to our fabulous guests, Polly and Paul from
thank
Diamond
you.
Circle Weddings and
Thanks
Fort
for having
going.
Us.
Makes thank you feel like getting married.
It's like being on Steve White with the claps.
Yeah. It's
makes
fantastic.
Feel like getting married, doesn't it?
And then I want to say a huge
I'm sure he'll ask Amanda one day.
I want to say a huge thank you to Jim Frawley of Bellwether. Thank you so much. Yeah, to our sponsors.
New York kind of guy.
To our sponsors, Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. We will see you all next week where there will be no clapping because it will be banned. We'll see you all next week on the Business Monk Show. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Bye for now. Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.